Welcome to Dry Hard Pod, a weekly podcast on navigating life as a dry millennial.
Hi, I'm Katie. I've been alcohol-free for 1 year and 1 day while you're listening to this.
1 year anniversary.
I know. So exciting. 1-1 for our 11th episode.
Angel number?
Angel. Oh my God.
I'm just going to keep bringing that back.
That's our intro now.
Does anyone have an angel number? Hi, I'm Kaylee, and I have been alcohol-free for 451 days.
That's awesome, Kaylee. You're my hero. I feel like I say that every week. That's such a long fucking time, dude.
I can be your hero, baby.
Baby. Oh, no one.
No.
No one needs that in their...
Awesome. Well, I think we have some shout outs for a couple of new listeners. So I'll kick it off with Jules, 1212 Jules on Instagram, or maybe it's 1212 Jules or 121 two Jules.
1212 Jules. Yeah.
Thanks for being a new listener.
Yes. And thank you for giving us love on our, Instagram content. It definitely warms my heart and also makes me resent putting out content less.
Makes it less terrifying.
I also wanted to give a shout out to a new listener. She's from Michigan. She's from my home state, Kaylee.
Nice.
Yeah, her name is Annalie. She's a badass sober babe. She runs a fitness community on Instagram, and I've been following her for a long time. So when she was asking for podcast recommendations, I was like, pick me, pick me. I just think that she is super rad, and yeah, you should go follow her. Check her out. It's her handle is at Annalie.roberts, so Annalie.roberts on Instagram.
Awesome. Katie, how are you feeling?
Oh, wow. Well, I'm finally feeling better. I'm recovering from a super gnarly head cold, one that made me dizzy for like 10 days. And I took multiple COVID tests and they were negative, and I just felt awful. But that's okay. We're back and in action.
I'm so glad that you're feeling better. That sounded really wild. Like, I've never had a cold that gave me like vertigo before.
I know. And it's weird because I posted on Instagram, has anyone else felt this way? Because that's obviously much more reliable than an appointment with my doctor.
That's expensive, though.
Yeah. A couple of other people who live around where I live were like, yes, I had this same thing. My whole family passed it around. Like, you'll start to feel better, but my lungs are still not quite up to par. So I'm hoping that I don't get that shit again.
Yeah. Well, we had COVID. We are like just now getting over it, and took another set of tests after the quarantine period, and we're both negative now. But
woo.
We've had to be like isolated and super cooped up, which was cool. We've like watched movies and played video games and just like hung out. But I am so ready to like get back to the climbing gym and my Omega Burn classes and just like being out of the house for a little bit. So I'm excited that that's over.
Yes, for sure. I totally hear that. I feel like I've been a little overwhelmed by Instagram this week.
Yeah, has it been popping off?
It's just like everyone's diving into their next year shit and I'm like, wait.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm not ready. I'm still working on December. Like, I have things we put in motion, you know, a month ago, and I just am... they can carry on into the new year, obviously, but it's just everyone else is getting a fresh start. And I'm like, ooh, I'm still napping from Christmas.
Yeah. It seems like you've stayed like pretty consistently busy. And so especially like after you get sick, you feel like you need some time just to get caught up. So
yeah,
I feel that.
For sure.
I have some extra time off right now, which I'm excited about. I'm starting a new job and like making some money moves.
Yay!
I've been, you know, putting some intentions out there for just moving forward in my career and making more money. So that's been dope to actually see that come to play out. But I have a lot of free time right now, and it's painful for me. It's only been like a few days. So if anyone has suggestions of things to like keep me distracted because I'm not used to not working and I feel like a lazy piece of shit, let me know.
Well, it's really funny that you said that because on Reframe, a question that gets asked a lot when people are new, like early in their sobriety, they're like, I'm so bored. What do I do with all of this time that I have now that I'm not drinking?
Yeah.
And I always say, keep a list of things in your back pocket that you always say, I wish I had time to do X, because you can actually start doing it.
Yeah, that is crazy, Katie, because I have a list in my phone called Things I Like, and
I love that. That's so cute.
Yeah, just whenever I'm vibing out and like having a good time, I'll write it down and be like, okay, cool. Like, I actually really like, you know, taking my dog on walks and listening to music, or I really like going to the beach. I always forget that I really like that. And so, I don't know. I write that shit down and then try and make more time for that.
That's so sweet. I was going to say, is there any, just as a, this is what I want time for, so I'm projecting it onto you. Is there any drawer in the house that you've been wanting to organize? Because I've been trying to prioritize time for that and I just have not been able to.
Yeah, I have a ton, I have like two boxes that I need to just take to Goodwill and donate, or, you know, Salvation Army, and they've just been sitting in a closet for like 4 months. So
I would say I have two trash bags full of clothing in the back of the trunk of my car. It's been there for at least a month and a half.
Oh, we can't leave anything in our car because it'll get broken into. Danny's car has been broken into twice and he only had like a t-shirt in it. So, anyway, what are we talking about today, Katie?
Well, it's a new year. What better time to talk about setting resolutions, like a pass fail for yourself, or setting intentions, slowly integrating changes into your life that are sustainable for yourself and your mental health? I feel like someone's got to have the conversation.
For sure. And also, not to let it slide that it's Katie's 1 year anniversary. So
it's me. It's my birthday. Yeah.
It's my birthday. So in this episode, we want to welcome Katie into the 1 year booze-free club and then maybe share some horror stories of New Year's pre-sobriety. And then, yeah, just talk about resolutions and intentions and our plans for staying booze-free in 2022.
Love that. Also want to add, at the end of the episode, we have a little surprise for dry hard listeners or anyone that's trying a dry January.
Yes. Continue to listen. Don't turn it off midway. There is a surprise. We're just starting to bribe people now.
I still have some of that lingering cold, so I'm like crying because it hurts to laugh too hard and I can't fully breathe yet, so my heart rate's up. I'm a mess, but this polar seltzer is coming in clutch, so we're good to go.
Katie, what did New Year's Eve and like New Year's Day look like for you pre-sobriety? Do you have any stories of getting buck wild?
I have so many stories of getting buck wild for NYE that I can't even think of a story because it's a fucking blur.
Did you always have someone to kiss on New Year's Eve?
I never did. I was the desperate girl always. I like always wanted someone to pay attention to me at the bar on New Year's Eve because my shitty boyfriend wasn't responding to my text messages or something. So the theme continues. No, but New Year's Eve was a lot like the other holidays we've covered, you know?
Yeah.
I do remember later on in my 20s, I was working at a fine dining restaurant here in Eugene, and New Year's Eve was always a huge moneymaker in the industry.
Oh, yeah, because people are, like, ordering drinks.
Yeah, and we would do, like, paired dinners with cocktails, and I always, you know, helped make the menu. I bartended. I ran the front of house, essentially, and so I was busy, and I was making money. Like, I would probably come away after a six-hour shift with a few $100 easily in tips. And so, you know, I think Steve and I, my husband, we've been together at that point like 4 or 5 years. We weren't married, we were living together, and he has never really participated in alcohol. I mean, he did when we first got together, but he became sober curious far before I ever did. And so he wasn't drinking on New Year's Eve ever. But I remember I promised him that I would be home for movies and a late dinner. I was going to like get takeout from the restaurant. We were going to go home and chill and ring in the New Year together or whatever. Turns out I decided to drink half a fifth of Maker's Mark.
Oh, shit.
On my shift. And like straight up texting him like, oh, we're still working. No, I was drinking after hours. Like we did a lot there. And I wound up convincing him to come down to the restaurant. It was like 11:15, 11:30 at this point. And I was like, it's great. Like we're going to light off fireworks. And he gets there sober. And everyone else there has either drank or done some form of a white drug at this point.
Yeah.
And I just remember being out on the side of the building and just puking while everyone else was lighting fireworks. It was not fun. And then the next day I get a call because, of course, we had to go in to work the next day for our next shift. And before that, I get a call that one of our coworkers got a DUI on the way home.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And I just remember the anxiety like it was yesterday of waking up and being like, what did I say to my boss? What did I say to this coworker? Is Steve mad at me? Like, you know, where you kind of panic and like touch everything beside you. What's beside me? Okay, cool. I'm in my bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all good. Okay. My heart rate's up. I couldn't really eat that day. You know what I mean? It was just like, that was just a common reaction to New Year's Eve. And I feel like there was a New Year's Eve that wasn't that long ago where I made everyone hike in the morning, and I was so hungover. And I remember, and not everyone, like three of my girlfriends, and I was like, okay, I'm not drinking after this, like for the rest of January, but we should have a White Claw on our way up the hike.
Oh my God.
And so we drank a White Claw because I was so hungover, I couldn't even make it up without it.
I would shit my pants.
Needless to say, I did not do Dry January that year. That was also not that long ago. Just so everyone knows, yes, I have my shit together, but I liked to party a little bit.
I feel like for me, every New Year's has been like just probably way more dramatic than it needed to be and like always crying. Like it always ended in tragedy.
Oh, yes.
Like, my on and off again ex-boyfriend would like, I don't know, one time we were at the same party, but we broke up and but we're at the same party together and we're like secretly like still sleeping together, but like no one else knew that.
I feel like I remember this.
Ugh. And then everyone felt bad for me because I got dumped. And I think this was at the point where I was like left for another woman too. And so the guys were like offering to give me New Year's Eve kisses and like my ex was there and he was like super pissed about it and made me cry. And I remember like crying and one of the guys like coming out to me and being like, hey, like it's okay. You know what I really like about you? You have like really nice hair.
Oh no, the pity comment.
And I was like, okay, like I appreciate you.
Fuck off.
It's just like I'm a fucking mess. And also like how stupid is this to have like the secret relationship with this asshole and I'm not telling anyone because I'd be ashamed because he treated me like shit, but for some reason I was like, I don't know, had some sort of weird, what is it, like Stockholm syndrome? Anyway.
Okay. We are fucking full of joy tonight.
Dude, and then in 2016, I was transported from a bar in an ambulance and almost had to have like emergency surgery. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah. That was wild. So I was taking some friends out to a popular establishment. I don't know how much I can really say because of lawsuits and what like the statute of limitations is, but essentially all of us were hanging out, having a good time. I had definitely drank champagne. I wasn't feeling wasted though. I didn't feel like I was going to be sick, maybe because I had like a good dinner and was dancing. And
you were like out at a nicer place. You weren't like getting trashed at this point. You were hardly even under the influence, were you?
Yeah, no, I definitely like paced them out throughout the night. So I think when I got there, I had a tequila shot and then like I had champagne on New Year's and then I may have had like two mixed drinks, but we were there for like 4 hours or longer. So anyway, I also decided to invite this girl who I had only gone on one date with and the first date I'd ever gone on with a girl. And
Oh my gosh, the plot thickens. I forgot.
Yes. Yeah. So she's actually still like one of my really good friends now. And I'm so thankful that I know her. And she was so cool throughout this whole process. But I invite her to come hang out. So I'm introducing her to my friends. We're hanging out. We're dancing. But the night's pretty much over. So we're like, okay, cool. Like we should close out. And as they're going to close out, there's a fight that's taking place. And there's like someone yelling and then pushing someone up against a wall. And then a bouncer comes and throws the person who's like choking the guy out on the wall, throws him, hits me. We both hit the ground, glass shatters. My knee is broken into 4 different pieces. So
I can't.
It's funny, like I've been noticing now that I still have anxiety in large crowds, like the football game that I mentioned and music venues or just anywhere that there's a lot of people. I just get really nervous because it was such a freak accident and I just happened to be in the wrong place in the wrong time. And it took like a year of physical therapy. I had to be prescribed Oxycontin, which made me feel like there was like the scarabs from The Mummy inside of my body. I was so itchy.
I can't. So I relate to that. I hate Oxy. I cannot take it. It like makes me feel like shit.
Yeah.
And itchy.
I mean, that's probably a good thing. I loved it.
100.
I loved it. I just didn't, the dosage that I was on was like way too intense. It was like, oh, do you want to get hooked on this like beautiful drug? Here, take 7 every 4 hours. And I was like, this can't, there's no way.
And then fuck your life away even faster.
Yeah.
Than you already are.
Oh my God. I know. And crazy that I was trying to get on another one. I was like, dude, give me the hydrocodone. Like that shit was fine. This shit is making me literally want to like dig my own skin out. And they were like, no, I'm really sorry, you have to take 4 of these pills every 2 hours or something like that. And I was like, no. So anyway, it was just a whole debacle that was very traumatic, I'm coming to find. And yeah, it wasn't because, like, it's not like I was wasted, but also like if I was sober, I wouldn't have like been at that bar and so anyway, yeah,
it's a lot.
So New Year's Eve was usually like a pretty big bummer for me.
Yeah, dude. Well, I think when you are drinking, and this is, I might be making this statistic up, so don't at me anybody out there who tells me this is wrong, but the likelihood of erratic behavior, accidents, any kind of harm increases greatly when there's alcohol involved. So yeah, it makes sense that 3 out of the 4 weren't enjoyable moments.
Yeah. So now it's kind of like a joke. And like my friends and my family, what are you doing for New Year's? Like, oh, I hope you're not going to a bar. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm literally hiding in my house. So.
Ugh, crazy, man. Yeah, I just don't have the fondest memories either. I think one time, Kaylee, you might remember this. And I feel like this is an incredibly dangerous thing. My friend and I, we were roommates. We went out to a bar on New Year's Eve and we left our cars downtown. And we had a friend walk us back to our apartment and like lock up the door with us in it. And I don't remember it at all.
Oh, shit.
I got a text the next day from them and they are so kind and I'm glad I'm trustworthy. They weren't close. I would say acquaintance, not friend.
Yeah.
And they just kind of hung out at the bars we were out at. We kind of just got to know them from like, you know, through that scene. And looking back, I believe that they had great energy and I'm sure that we picked up on that. But yeah, he like had our keys and like my roommate and I woke up and we were like, dude, where are our cars? Like, how do we get home? Who brought our stuff? Like, how did this happen? Yeah, that was a weird New Year's Day morning waking up on that one.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's the worst is like waking up and then like going outside to see like how you parked your car and just like, oh, fuck.
Oh,
like,
no.
How did I even get here.
Yes. And remember how cold and rainy and shitty it would always be on New Year's Eve? Like, the weather was never nice.
No. Horrible.
Horrible.
Bleak.
So much so. Just, like, the next day. So, anyways.
So, Katie, speaking of New Year's being kind of a bummer, did you used to like set any New Year's resolutions? Did you have anything that you were, that you wrote down or that you were like, okay, like new me, new year, I'm going to be different. Like, here are the things that I'm going to do different.
So I have a little bit of like anxiety and a little panic that comes through when I put things down on paper and like in a timeline. Mm. So I've kind of always known that about myself. Like, I do like to write, I journal, but I don't like to plan things on paper because it gives me instant anxiety. So I've never done that. However, I have gone into the new year with just empty resolutions, right? I'm going to exercise this much this year, or I'm going to meal prep, or I'm going to not drink in January. Now, did I have tools to set myself up for success in those resolutions? Absolutely not.
That's the thing I feel like with resolutions, is it's like, I am going to go into this new year being exactly the same person as I always have been, but expect myself to do all of these like things that I've never done before and just like snap my fingers and be a different person.
Yes, exactly. And then a big one, actually, the last couple of years has been setting resolutions around my screen time and my cell phone use. Mm-hmm. And so I would like do drastic stuff, like delete all my apps off my phone for 30 days. And then I would binge them as soon as I got them back on. And like, that's, again, not a behavior change, right? That's just taking something away that I couldn't have back. Like, that would be the difference between me quitting drinking and not doing any self-reflection, any self-forgiveness, any mental health work, any self-confidence work, but in just quitting the booze and then wondering why when I drink again, I'm a shit show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or why my life isn't getting better. Even that's a better analogy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, I quit drinking and my life still is not getting better. Well, because you're still living out those same behaviors, you're just not drinking while you're doing it. So yeah, I would beat myself up about it too when I would fail. And
yes.
I would just get stuck in that shame cycle that just keeps you stunted. So yeah, that's kind of what I associated with New Year's resolutions. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think it's funny that you said that writing stuff down on paper gives you anxiety, because I like get off on it.
You get that little like oxytocin boost when you do it.
Yeah. So I actually have been working actively with a therapist on this, but I've been writing things down in such detail. Okay, like I'm going to wake up at 6 a.m. every morning, and then I'm going to brush my teeth, work out for 30 minutes, and then I'm going to do this skincare routine where I'm specifically going to use this cleanser, this toner, this moisturizer. I'm going to fucking gua sha my whole ass face before I even go to work in the morning. Like, that shit's going to be done. And then I like already get the satisfaction of planning it. So it's almost like I don't do it because that doesn't feel good. The doing it doesn't feel good. The fantasizing about it like does.
Yeah. And I said oxytocin hit, but I actually meant serotonin, or is it dopamine? I think it's dopamine when your brain gets off on that planning and that like thoroughly, you know, describing. I do something similar to that, Kaylee. It's not the making lists, but I share my big, exciting ideas verbally with people in Storytel when I'm in that creative mode. And I get that approval and I get that response and I get that, you know, I'm feeling good, the endorphins are going. And then actually carrying out the act of said plan doesn't feel good. I don't want to do it. I already gained and, you know, got the little hits in sharing.
Right. So I'm really trying to be more generic. And I think, you know, we'll get into this, but setting intentions or just like focus points. Like I might not wake up and be the quote unquote like perfect person, right? We talk about perfectionism a lot and floss my teeth at 7 a.m. or 6 a.m. or whatever. And I might not work out every single morning before work. But if I have the overall intention of focusing on my mental and physical health, then I can be like, okay, maybe today's a low energy day and I'm not going to work out, but like maybe I could make a meal plan for the rest of the week and just sit on my computer and do that. Yeah, like what are things that you can do for like low energy, high energy days and not beat yourself up for failing to floss your teeth? Instead, like
totally
celebrating the fact that you made a meal plan, you took your dog on a walk twice this week, you went to the climbing gym once, like all of those things are still wins. I get into fuck it mode really easily if I feel like I just can't do it, or I don't like believe in myself that I can get things done. And sometimes it's because I'm putting too harsh of expectations for myself because I'm a perfectionist. So I don't know.
Yeah. I hear that. And I'm kind of in the same boat. I'm not doing like a New Year's resolution this year, like you said. Just I'm really leaning on the word intentions. And I've seen it floating around Instagram, and I really like that. Like, of course, if resolutions and rigid schedules work for you, then be your fucking best self and do that. But for me, I really have to take inventory of what just felt good for me this year that's working in my life, because my life is improving and I'm going deeper. I don't really have to decide on doing one thing. I can keep my hands moving around the things and touching the things that feel good for me. And so I'm going to focus on that this year. As far as actionable items, I will say that there's a couple of physical things I'm going to do this year, but they're not self resolutions, right? They're not meant to change myself. I am going to run the half marathon in the Eugene Marathon this year. And so working on that until May is a physical action I'm taking that's self-improvement, but it's not going to the gym 5 out of the 7 days a week and sleeping 8 hours and fucking rolling my crystals around and washing my face and putting out 2 reels a week on Instagram. And you know what I mean? Like, I can't do that.
That's the thing. The list starts to get so long and then it gets so overwhelming that you don't want to look at the list. And so I have so many drafts in my Word docs, notes in my iPhone. I bet you I have 15 different like new me, new year, like New Year's resolutions, or like as of X date, I'm not going to do X, Y, and Z anymore. It's too much.
And I just really think that it's interesting because you've said before, like, oh, magical. It's the first day of the year and I'm this person now. Well, here's something that I realized. You can do that any day.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be January 1st. If it's January 1st, you fucking are killing it. Because, hey, that's when I quit drinking booze. My intention was not to be sober. It was to do a dry 30. But here we are. Best choice of my life. But, you know, I put in the tools and the practices to become a person who didn't drink. I just wasn't a person that doesn't drink anymore on January 1st. That's not real. It's not how it works, you know?
My quit date was October 3rd for some random reason, so you can definitely decide whenever you want. I get, though, that sometimes milestones, like if it's something that's been on your mind for a while and you want to start doing a dry January or something like that, like get it, set that date and do your best to, you know, get as many days in as you can.
Yeah. Well, and to be totally honest, my working up to dry January was sober curiosity for a couple of months and having a couple of friends in my life that the universe put in my life to show me that I was capable of living a fulfilled life without alcohol, that being you, Kaylee, a couple of other friends I've mentioned. And so really what I did was I put myself in a conversation that was being had that I wasn't exposed to before. And I think that that's one of the biggest steps people can take in sobriety or any kind of change or new experience that they or goal that they're working towards, right? And I think even just listening to Sober Lit or podcasts or whatever, like it's all part of that plan and like giving yourself the tools. So if you're here and you're listening and it's something that you want to do, you're already starting that work. And I think that that's rad.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And also, like, please, please, if you do decide to do a New Year's resolution that's around alcohol, I would recommend not making the resolution that you never drink alcohol again, starting on, you know, Jan 1, 2022 or whatever. And when you listen to this episode, it'll be January 2nd. So just ease into it.
Ease into it. See what fits you. I mean, if you're someone who is like, I'm losing everything, I have to quit drinking alcohol. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if that's your relationship with addiction and with that substance, I hear that too. But for those of you who are curious about what life would be like without alcohol, really take it just one day at a time. Either way, you know, really. And just take care of yourselves. And we'll talk about resources in a little bit, because I think that's a really important thing to circle back around to.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So essentially, that's what we're doing to avoid the impending doom of New Year's resolutions.
Yeah. And that being said, too, the reason I say don't say that you're never going to drink alcohol ever again starting on X date is because if it's January 2nd and you slipped up and, you know, wasn't ready, or sometimes I feel like if you tell yourself you can never have something again, it only makes you want it more. Mm-hmm. So I would say lead into it with curiosity of like, I just really kind of want to see how far I can go, and take that data and take that information and document how you feel, journal. And
yeah,
if it doesn't end up being the whole year, you know, I started, I did 30 days, then I did 200 days, then I did, you know, wherever I am now. So it still helps.
Yeah. It's like lead with curiosity and not with shame, right?
Yes. Yeah.
When you already attach this expectation of succeeding or failing, you are going to feel disappointment. When you lead with the intention to grow and to be curious about something that might work for you in your life, you get to dip your toe in the water and be in control at that point. And I think changing, like reframing that mindset is huge.
Yeah, 100%. So with all of this in mind, how is your New Year's going to look for you this year, Katie? Happy 1 year sober birthday. That's fucking huge. It's a big deal. What are you doing to celebrate? What's going on?
Okay, well, I don't really know entirely. You know, I love me some attention, but it's also a new fucking day of a new year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For everyone else. So actually, my husband surprised me today and he said, hey, we are going to spend New Year's Eve over at a friend of ours. They're a couple. They're also sober, and they're going to throw a sober New Year's Eve party.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and it also being my sober birthday party. So it's kind of like a combo. I don't really know if they know that it's about my sober birthday yet, but I do. So I'm going to like bring a treat and like we'll light a candle and take some pictures or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I love that. That sounds awesome.
And they planned like we're doing a charcuterie board and we'll have all of the NA drinks. I think I'm going to even play like mocktail bartender, because I really, you know, I miss that life. I like mixing drinks. And we actually just had a local company reach out to us on Dry Hard. They make tonics and she hooked me up with an entire set of her herbal made bitters.
I'm so excited for you to try those. That sounds amazing.
I know. So there's literally, Kaylee, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different bitters here. And we're going to use them in our mocktails on New Year's Eve. As we learn more about High Street Tonics, we want to share their message a little bit with you guys. So we will revisit that. I'll probably share some stuff on Instagram. So keep your eyes peeled for that.
Yeah, for sure. I love that it's like a local Eugene woman too. You know, that's where we're from. And
yes, for sure. And they're also part of the Sober Curious community as well. She said that she would consider herself like a mindful drinker, which I think is awesome. And she stumbled across the pod and reached out.
That's awesome. A soda water and bitters is what I would order all the time at a dive bar, just because, I don't know, sometimes their grapefruit juice and stuff like that isn't as ideal. But soda and bitters is always a good, safe way to have an NA drink.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that there's, when you're using like natural ingredients and tonics, there's some incredible health benefits to tonics. I've been reading a little bit. There's like kidney health and function bitters. There are anti-inflammatory bitters. So I know she plays a lot with those elements. And so that's also very cool.
Awesome. And I found a NA Brut Champagne that I tried, and it was actually really fucking good. And I was an Andre's Ultra Dry bitch. Like, for some reason, my brand was in, like, when I was 18, to go to parties and show up and bring a giant thing of orange juice and Andre's Ultra Dry, and I just drank mimosas, like, all the time.
I genuinely love that about you.
So getting to have champagne for, like, the first time as someone who doesn't drink, it was really nice. It was good. So yeah, I'll look up that brand as well and post it to Instagram for y'all to try.
So what are you going to do on New Year's Eve? Did you guys decide?
We don't have any plans as of right now.
Hell yeah.
It's hard right now, especially because Eugene just got hit with, like, a huge snowstorm. Danny and I had to postpone Christmas because we got COVID. So I think we need to catch up on, like, some family obligations and things like that. We might be going down to Eugene and just hanging out with Grandma and Grandpa and having a delayed Christmas.
Aww.
Yeah, for the most part, I'm just going to be in my sweatpants, fucking spread eagle on the couch, watching TV, hanging out with the animals. And there's some new shows that have come out that I'm trying to get caught up on. So I need to finish Succession because I just don't know how much longer I can avoid spoilers. So I need to get my shit together.
Dude, I am on episode 7 right now of the new season. It'd be good.
Some shit goes down, so.
I am a little nervous going into the new year of sobriety.
Yeah, what, like, makes you nervous about it?
I just didn't have a plan last time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I had tools, and I had no expectations, and I feel really good, but it feels weird. And it's like, we've kind of been talking about this throughout this episode, and just we've been talking all week about resolution success and failure and what that looks like for sobriety and gray area drinking. And I just feel like I've had this really amazing confidence the last couple of months. And I don't know. I just don't want to hit another low after that New Year's, like, shiny feeling. And I just really want to lean into the resources that I have right now.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I'm definitely really excited to try and, you know, set the intention of getting into the 2B magnetic work and starting to meditate and, you know, manifest some cool shit in my life. And I also feel like I know it's probably going to be a bit of an emotional roller coaster to start just opening up, like, previous traumas and things like that as part of the work. But I've been having drinking nightmares, like, really frequently, and I need to get to the bottom of that shit. So yeah, I'm excited to kind of roll my sleeves and dive in. And I don't feel like I would even consider meditating back when I used to drink. And I feel like not drinking has given me so much confidence in, like, 2021 that I'm really excited to tap into that more in 2022 and just see what sort of things can present themselves to me when I'm not fucking hating myself all the time.
Oh, yeah, dude. The meditation practice and the To Be Magnetic work have been, like, huge factors in my overall success this year. And yeah, just not yucking stuff that I don't know about, right? Like, before I would have been like, that's dumb. That's some bullshit. That's woo-woo, you know, whatever. But I am here for it. Now that I'm sober, I'm like, anything will work. Like, this is great. I just have this new outlook on things. And I'm hoping I can roll that over into the new year as well. What are you doing to avoid that, like, you know, lovely shame this year? Do you have a plan?
I don't necessarily have, like, a major game plan, but I have really been trying to remind myself of the things that I am doing. So, like,
yeah.
I'm laughing because I was talking to Katie the other day and was telling her, like, you know, I've been off work since Christmas Eve and a good amount of time off, but not, like, a shit ton of time off. Christmas Eve, I deep cleaned my entire house, and it felt so satisfying, and I got to just like bask in a house that's been freshly like vacuumed and dusted. Then Christmas Day, I made breakfast for the boys and dinner, and then I just kind of have been laying around ever since then. I went back to the climbing gym finally, now that we can with COVID, but I've been feeling like such a lazy piece of shit. And I have to be like, okay, well, like you're still cooking and cleaning and trying to go to the gym. And it's also okay if you just like sit on the couch and watch TV. So trying to, like, I don't know, pull out a little bit and look at the grand scheme of things and be like, dude, you're working out more than you've ever worked out in your life. You've been sober for almost 500 days, you know?
Right. Yeah.
You're not taking steps backwards, or you're not going anywhere, which is a fear that I have. Oh, I'm so – anyway, let me like try and stay on being nice to myself, but I'm so annoying sometimes with like how far up my ass I can get.
Oh, dude, I am right there with you. I like wrote this Instagram post, and part of it was like – things this month just became quickly overwhelming, right? Planned and unplanned family coming in from out of town, Christmas with my family, my full-time job, my social media management business, Dry Hard Pod, Reframe app monitoring, 1000 Hours Dry hosting. I'm like, what in the actual fuck? I have so much going on. I can't even for a second think that I'm not showing up for myself and for other people and, you know, doing what keeps me happy and full of joy and excited. Like, I said yes to these things because I love them.
Yeah.
And it's so funny though, because we get this like, I get this like, I don't do anything. Everyone else does more than I do. I'm such a, you know, I binge watched Succession this weekend, so I feel just like the biggest loser. And honestly, through the 2B magnetic work, I've been learning more about myself and my authentic code, that time freedom and having flexibility is something that I deeply crave and identify with.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I continue to just fill and fill and fill and fill my schedule. And every time I allow it to be open, it expands and something more comes in for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You have the opportunity to go with the flow.
Yeah. And so that's why I have all of my hands in these little buckets, because they, you know, they do give me the opportunity to have a variety. And to me, that's the spice of life. That's what keeps me going and interacting with people and, you know, talking about shit. Like, I love it. So anyways, that's just my little bit, because it's like progress always over perfection. We're never going to be perfect. What even is perfect? It's not a thing and it doesn't exist. So yeah.
Yeah. If you ask me, apparently it's flossing at 6 a.m. every morning. Which, like, what the fuck?
And then spending 30 minutes, what was it? A 30-minute workout? Precisely. Oh, and the gua sha.
Yeah, and I have to figure out my skincare routine.
Yeah, get that shit right.
It's not like I never wash my face. I just feel like I could always be doing better in all these things. So
yeah,
let's let go of that for 2022 and just fucking exist.
We're not doing it anymore.
We're over it. It's been such a weird fucking global pandemic. Like, let's just try our best and take naps.
Yeah. Ugh. The nap ministry. I don't know if you follow the nap ministry on Instagram, but
no,
check it out. It's like this theory that napping is, everyone should take a napping hiatus, like in their lifetime, like a month to just lay and nap.
Like a full month of just nap, like yes. Being asleep, like a coma.
No, like moving slowly, napping, eating, resting, reading, napping, eating, sleeping, meditating, napping, just like 30 days. No screens, like nothing but just yourself and books and journals and naps. And I'm like, that sounds glorious.
I would do that challenge.
I know. Hey, Kaylee. With your new job, you will earn some pretty serious paid time off, my guy. You could nap for a month eventually.
My coworkers are like, oh, cool. I see that you're taking a week off of PTO. What are you doing with it? And I'm like, I'm just going to nap, dog.
They would actually probably love that and be like, I need to be her friend now.
You mentioned that Instagram account, Katie. What are some other resources if people are looking to do a dry January, and also surprise that we have for them?
We have a surprise. And this is like my birthday surprise, dry heart surprise, New Year's surprise, I've decided, and Kaylee has also decided.
I've consented and approved, yeah.
I think Dry Heart Pod should do a dry January, like a community group chat.
Yes. Pew, 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 pew.
Yeah. Wah, 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 wah. Also, if I'm screaming into my microphone right now, I'm so sorry. I'm just really excited about this.
Yeah, so what does that look like, Katie? How do people get to be a part of this?
Okay, so I made a post this last week, and if you saw it, go back and comment on it. Let us know if you want to be a part of our like private group chat on Instagram. Kaylee and I are going to show up there. We're going to check in every day. We're going to share funny memes and videos and mocktails and just like whatever comes naturally during the day. There's no performance here. This is not a competition. You know what I mean? It's just people hanging out on Instagram in a group chat for extra support while they're working their way through dry January. I'm also hoping to share some resources throughout the process. So like for the 30 days, just little things to lean on that help us. And, you know, Kaylee will be there as well. And she really wants to respond and get into it with you guys if you're up for it. And so what you can do is go to the Dry January post. You'll see it on Instagram. It's like probably one post before this episode post. Comment on it. Just say like, I'm in like Dry January. Let's do it, whatever. And I'll add you to the group chat. It'll be so cute.
I'm so excited. I also just love the idea of I could talk about my thoughts and feelings like all day, every day if someone let me. So being able to talk to other people who are either more seasoned in their booze-free journey or less seasoned or just starting,
yeah.
Like I want more tips and tricks. I could always be learning more. I want to help empower you all to do your 30 days. And I'm so freaking excited for anyone that we can convince to do this, whether or not you go back to drinking or not, like whatever. Like,
yeah.
But to just commit to something, you will be so fucking proud of yourself after you finished it. And we'll just be able to take that confidence into whatever else you're doing. So get it. Come join us.
Come join us and tell your friends. Like, I am so grateful that I had friends having those conversations around me, questioning that. I would have never taken 30 days off drinking had I not been around people who were. So it's never going to hurt anyone. It's always going to help them, or they will say, fuck you, no. And that's the worst that will happen.
Yes.
So recruit.
Join us.
Oh my God. Anyway, so that obviously Reframe app, I don't have to even go into that. I mean, I should, because in Reframe app, there's actually like a dry January challenge. If you have the app already and you are listening, don't forget to find that the 1000 hours dry challenge in that. Something else, Kaylee, big news. We haven't told our listeners.
What haven't we told them? Why am I...
I can't stop laughing right now. I am the new 1000 hours dry main page host on Saturdays.
Oh shit, that's right. Hell yeah.
I know. And so I am on the 1000 hour dry challenge Instagram page all day on Saturday. I make a post, like tips, tricks, you know, just anything really that I want to share that day. And then I'm on the stories all day answering questions, sharing resources. I'm really excited because my next day hosting is my sobriety birthday, which was yesterday on this episode. Yeah. So check out the page. If not for me, for the other six people that host, they're a bunch of badasses. There are all kinds of folks who are hosting. It's not just me, you know? So check it out. It's a great tool to have in your back pocket. And then anyone who actually wants to do the 1000 hours dry challenge, it's actually 42 days without alcohol. And there's a 1000 hours dry parents page. There's a 1000 hours dry babes page. There's a 1000 hours dry LGBTQ page. There is like, there's something for all people the 1000 hours dry offers. And I am totally fucking excited about this opportunity for myself, for the people I'll connect with, to learn and to grow from them, and then also for Dry Heart Pod.
Absolutely. We're so excited to get to have that partnership and just continue to meet more and more, you know, baddies who are deciding to question their relationship with alcohol. So
to cut the sauce.
Yeah, to cut the sauce. So I think those are all really good resources. Also, you can Google mocktail recipes, and Katie and I will be posting a lot more information in that department to our socials. You know, there's so many more NA options that we have access to, and it's really fun to, you know, kill some of that sober time by crafting up your own bevies.
There is someone on Instagram that I follow, of course, for my mocktails. Her handle is at Mixed Without. So check Chelsea out because she's pretty cool too. And she's got some fucking good recipes.
Yeah. And in terms of key takeaways for this episode, y'all, I would say don't expect to be a totally different person just because it's 2022. And set intentions, but not rigid rules for your New Me New Year. Try and make that list of things broad and small so it doesn't get so overwhelming that you don't do it.
Yeah. And what behaviors, what small things can we just implement in our day-to-day lives that just bring us more joy and happiness? I think that that's another key to just improving your overall quality of life, and like just have some self-compassion. We're not going to, what is it? You can't move mountains overnight. Do they say that? That's not a thing.
Rome wasn't built in a day.
Off the wagon, on the wagon.
We don't know.
We know nothing. One other thing that I read this week that I really liked that we'll leave you with. You get to make the decisions about yourself, when to implement, how to implement. You can evolve at any time. You don't need anyone's permission. You don't need expectations of a new year or new resolution. Like, you've got the power. Ooh, love that song.
I
got the power.
Dun, 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 dun. I feel like it was in a 90s commercial, wasn't it? Was it like a cleaning product?
Maybe. I also think like it was a pretty big hit.
Yeah. Huh. I'm unlocking like a 90s fever dream of like a commercial that was probably playing at 2 a.m. Awesome. Well, yeah, that's our show. And we really hope that we get to see you in the Dry January Instagram discussion. So make sure to look out for that and have a happy new year.
And a happy new year to you.
And to all a good night.